Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast.
All right, well, should we just go?
Let's go.
Just roll into it. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us on the Casual Comics Cast, She-Hulk edition. I'm your casual comics guy, Joe, and today I am joined by two guests, Mark.
Greetings.
And Michael.
Hi there.
You guys have like the most subdued intros. You can at least be groovy like Jeff.
I'm so groovy.
What does Jeff do? He's like, hey, everyone.
You used to do the R2-D2 whistle.
I did?
Yeah.
What about the Star Trek one?
All right.
Captain on the Bridge.
That was pretty good.
Well, thanks for joining me today, guys. Today we're going to be mostly talking about She-Hulk. But we haven't chatted in a while. What do you guys think about some of the more recent nerd news? Like the cancellation of Batgirl? Like, just, it's out. Spent $90 million to make a Batgirl movie. We're not even going to show it to anybody ever.
Did they make the movie? Was it like in post-production or what happened there?
They made the movie. It was ready to go. They're like, it's out. The DC universe is like in shambles again.
I didn't know it was that far along.
Is it just that terrible?
It couldn't happen to a nicer gal, I guess.
Well, so it's the whole deal with the DC universe just being just utter nonsense and chaos is, they're not sure what they're doing with the Flash movie. I'm still not hearing anything. And the Batgirl movie came straight out of the Flash movie. And especially it's like, here's the Flash, then here's Batgirl, and launch into the next DC multi-universe. Like, that's out. That's done. They're already
The problem with the Flash is, I think he actually thinks he's the Flash. He keeps stealing stuff. The actor does. It's like, dude, you don't have superpowers. You're getting caught every time.
You idiot.
Stop stealing stuff.
You look like you're out of the loop on the whole Flash.
No, is that Ezra guy, right?
Ezra, yes. Miller.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm up to speed. I know she's stuff.
She knows the tea.
That's right. The hot goss. I got the hot.
She's got it.
So old, I can't say any of those things with a straight face.
All right, so the DC universe
is sus.
It's come and gone. The end. No more sayonara Batgirl. It's with the HBO Max whole reorg, and HBO's just canning everything left and right.
Who was all that girl though? Who was the star? I don't know.
We'll have to ask Ryan. And like they're like, not only, apparently they feel it's better to cancel it, never show it again, and take it as a tax write-off than to release it to audiences anywhere.
That's really bad.
As a DC, I'm not a DC fan, as you know, Joe. I don't mind the characters and I'll watch the movies, but it's got to be supremely disappointing, doesn't it?
I would think
see what Marvel does, even phase four or whatever. Marvel's on phase four. They just announced phase five
and
30 movies in. 30. And DC keeps just blowing things up.
Yeah, well, we're probably rubbing it in too much.
Okay, sorry.
The other thing that debuted, I don't know if either of you guys have seen it. This will be fascinating to people because none of us have seen it, but Sandman just debuted on Netflix.
I saw the preview and I was going to watch it, but it was the opening preview was so sad. They had this like baby dinosaur and it was so cute, or some kind of like,
really,
dragon dinosaur that the Sandman was coming to like reclaim. And I was like, I don't think I can do this, man. It's just too cute. It's bad.
Is it getting good reviews? Joe, did you watch it?
I have not watched it yet. It's on my list of things to watch before I cancel Netflix. Now that you told me I get HBO Max for free.
That's right. Do it if you have AT&T. I watched Uncharted, which is like movie based off the game. I enjoyed it.
It was like National Treasure and the Goonies made a baby and put Mark Wahlberg in it. And
I don't
Tom
like
Holland.
People hating on it. Michael,
it's ridiculous, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yes, both can be true.
And I watched it with my mom, Joe, and I know you and my mom have the same taste and she loved it also. So I feel like you're going to like it.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that your mom and I bonded over Preacher. And then all of a sudden we have same taste.
Quite odd. No, that's not the only thing you guys have the same taste in. I feel like there's been lots of things where both of you nerds are like, yeah, that's so awesome.
I played all the Uncharted games, which are really good games, by the way, if you're a gamer. And they did a good job of making the game into a movie. It was an okay movie, a little campy, like you said, a little ridiculous. And the voice actor of in the games made a cameo, which was great. He was on the beach, if you remember the beach scene where they come both walking on the beach and he says something like, "Where'd you guys come from?"
I didn't know it was a video game.
Yeah. Well, then see, that's okay.
That's the best kind.
And she still enjoyed it. So I played the video games and enjoyed it. Michael didn't even know there were video games and she enjoyed it. So why did it bomb at the box office? Who knows?
It's a difficult time, even now, to release a movie, if I do say.
So sounds like two thumbs up on Uncharted. I haven't seen it. That's Tom Holland in that, right?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So Spider-Man. I should probably see if Spider-Man's in it. Did you ever see Tom Holland's audition video for Spider-Man? You're going to see something adorable, by the way.
No.
Look it up on YouTube. It's his audition video where he taped it at home and sent it in. He's like doing flips and stuff. He's a pretty acrobatic dude. He was able to do like cartwheels and flips on the video and then sent like, be like, "I'm Spider-Man." Thwip. Love it. Any other comic stuff come up in the last, gosh, it's been a while since we talked, that you guys want to chat about? I know, Mark, we're going to be talking about San Diego Comic-Con. Man, that's already like weeks in the rearview mirror, but Marvel's announcements on the future phases. Anything else hot?
I think we're going to get into some of the recent ones, but I think the for me, the interesting news was the future titles of the Avengers movies,
right,
which are kind of exciting. So to me, that's probably the most exciting thing that came out. So who are going to be the Avengers? And I think it was Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars were the two subtitles of the Avengers movies. So I'm excited for that.
Secret Wars, Michael. It's coming back.
More Secret Wars. Can it be true? More Secret Wars?
They're not really secret anymore.
The gig is up, man.
First rule of Secret Wars. So you don't talk about Secret Wars. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that was great to catch up. Let's take a moment, take a breath, take a quick break, and we will come back. And then let's just get into this next phase of the Marvel Cinematic/Disney+ universe, and we'll talk She-Hulk.
You're listening to your friendly neighborhood casual comics cast.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. We're here today to talk about the Disney+ series She-Hulk, which, coming off of Moon Knight, which I really loved, Ms. Marvel, I haven't quite finished up yet. I'm getting there. So taking me a little longer. I don't know if that I'm the target demo for that show, but I'm enjoying what I'm seeing. And we'll get into She-Hulk, which is a character I don't know, Michael, how much you know about, has always been one of my favorite characters in the Marvel Universe. But you were introduced to She-Hulk, I think, in Secret Wars, right?
No. We talked about the She-Hulk in one of our very first podcasts when we used to record at that brewery, you and Pat.
That is the Lost Hulk episode.
That is when I learned about the Hulk and the She-Hulk and that she was a lawyer way back when. Okay.
So you remember that. But we did read Secret Wars. Was that the first comic you read with her in it?
Probably.
Right. Secret Wars, She-Hulk. She's been a bigger part of Marvel history. What did you know about She-Hulk?
I knew she was a lawyer. I knew she had a briefcase. I knew she was related to the Incredible Hulk. And I remember from our first podcast that she had a Tinder profile. That was it.
Nice.
That's sort of the evolution of She-Hulk, is she does have more humanity than Hulk. Mark, what would you guess? I had to go back, diving into this. We're going to review three She-Hulk comics coming up and go through sort of the She-Hulk oeuvre of comics through the ages, including her first appearance. But I had to go back to the source if I felt like I was going to like truly accurately capture She-Hulk and go to the official handbook of the Marvel Universe from the 1980s with Jen Walters and her leg warmers on. So She-Hulk, Jennifer Walters, former criminal defense lawyer, professional adventurer, legal status, American citizen with no criminal record. That's good. At least at this time when this was published, marital status single. Yes, known relatives of Bruce Banner. Group affiliation at this point was the Avengers. She was in the Avengers when this comic was published in the 1980s. First appearance, Savage She-Hulk, number one. Height and weight. Anyone want to guess height and weight?
She's 7 feet tall.
I was going to say 6'10".
6'7". So what is that? Same size as Michael Jordan?
We're both over.
Yeah, he's 6'6".
And weight?
Taller than Michael Jordan?
Tall, an inch taller than Michael Jordan and 250 pounds.
Michael, you're going to guess on the weight there?
She's like more muscle than anything. I'm gonna go like 335.
650.
No.
Oh.
She pretty then dense. Yeah.
Dense
no way.
Sinews.
Very, very dense body.
Yes.
So according to the official handbook, she has vast superhuman strength derived from a body-wide mutagenic change triggered by a transfusion of the gamma irradiated blood of the Hulk. So let's see. She, unlike Hulk, can control her transformations in, at some point in the future, not at the very beginning. I love reading these because they try and make it like scientific. It's like an increase in the level of epinephrine due to stress triggers a chemical extraphysical process that adds in some unknown way 540 pounds of bone marrow and tissue to her body. The total transformation takes between 15 seconds and 3 minutes. Determined.
I didn't know that.
That's a long. That's a really long time, that actually. Is. Like, if you need those powers, 3 minutes is a lifetime.
It says it's determined by the degree of stimulation achieved by the surge of epinephrine. So maybe, like, if she's just like mildly upset, she just starts getting a little bit bigger at a time until she becomes fully engorged.
More of a mild allergic reaction versus being stung by 1,000 bees.
Right. Okay. Strength. Any guess on the strength level? How much? What do you think she's benching there?
75 tons.
Ooh, that's a good guess. I'm going to say 50 tons.
Ooh, you got it right on. 50 tons.
That's bull crap. Bull crap, because I read it in one of these comics that she can bench 75 tons.
She was benching 2 pachyderms.
We'll get there. And you want to guess her height or her high jump and her long jump? I love her.
I don't know. What can Olympians her long do? Jump, I have no I think idea. Is 5 miles. I don't have a baseline.
Well, how
is it running long jump or standing long jump? Which one is it?
It says
it triple jump.
Standing long jump.
Standing long jump is, I'm going to say, a mile.
5 miles. You said
one,
five. I'm
1,000 feet. What's that, so about half a mile?
Roughly half a mile, yeah.
And standing high jump?
4 feet.
She can't get very high up. She weighs 600 pounds.
She has no vertical.
No vertical shape, Duncan.
600 feet.
600 feet. Okay. So she can go 600 feet straight up, but only 1,000. I guess it must have something to do with the arc and trajectory with which I'd have to do.
We need a podcaster listener to help us out with this. The physics of that.
Better at physics and geometry
doesn't
than we are.
Seem right, because
aren't
I can
you a do physics a... major, Joe?
No, I was a chemistry major for a hot minute, but not physics.
So think about that for a minute. I think I can long jump like 6 feet.
Right.
Can now, or you now. Could at one point. 6 feet? That feels like far.
No, it's not that far.
Standing?
And
then, no run?
Yeah. Okay, no. 5 feet. Jeez.
Because you're mean.
I think 6 feet.
When's the last time you actually did this? You're just making stuff up, aren't you?
I'm telling you, I think I can do it. 6 feet.
I don't believe any of this.
Okay, I'll try it later.
All right, let's see it right
but
now.
My so, and then I think I can jump only like maybe a foot off the ground.
You can do more than a foot.
I don't know about that.
Tough. Did you ever hear about, this goes back to the basketball, the Michael Jordan reference, running like a basketball kick tonight. Charles Barkley, right? He had a teammate that he nicknamed Big Mac, and they asked him why. And he said, because the guy worked out all summer and he can finally jump over a Big Mac.
Ouch.
No lift.
No, and then the last Green Lantern.
The last stat that they have is her skin is capable of withstanding extremes of temperature from -190 to 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Can withstand direct hits by field artillery cannon shells, but cannot, however, withstand the heat of a detonation of a nuclear weapon. So I don't know.
A nuclear weapon would kill her?
That's what it says here. I don't know how official any of this is anymore, almost 40 years later.
Yeah.
But we'll see. So that's the She-Hulk in a nutshell. Mark, She-Hulk's a pretty big deal in Marvel Comics, right? She's not like some Moon Knight that barely appears ever. She's a pretty integral part of the Marvel Universe.
I agree. I think when I was thinking about this, I think she is the Marvel Universe's designated hitter.
That's
what I think she is. That's my analogy there. And so she is, but she's not like mission critical to the MCU, but like the Thing retires and she's on the Fantastic Four, and Thor goes away and she's on the Avengers. And
she comes in handy.
She comes in handy, and she's a heavy. She's a good, you know, heavyweight to come in. So she designated hits for. So she's been on a lot of different teams, and right. she creates a lot of enemies that way too. But I don't think she is like, you don't think of her as a main,
as the lead
team member. Yeah, as the lead. Yeah, but she's a designated hitter, so she'll come in and pinch hit.
She's a career woman, so maybe she's just too busy being a lawyer. She can only like come in and moonlight a little bit because she's, you know, very yes. career.
I think that's it. Yeah, and I think, and we'll get into some of the comics later, but I think a criminal defense lawyer, I mean, I think she also defends superheroes. So that's yes. kind of her shtick. So I think she actually, yeah, I mean, work-life balance, right? She wanted to have a professional career. So that's why she was a designated hitter. She's like, I'll be the Fantastic Four for a bit, but I'm not going to stay there.
Right. You can't stick with it. You gotta pay the bills too. She That's has right. trouble paying the bills on a lot of occasions in the comic book.
That must be a bit terrible lawyer then, because right. they make good money, even in 2022.
I feel like, and I think they'll get into it in the series, which is what I'm excited about. I mean, it's tough to be a lawyer when bad guys keep smashing into the courtroom and trying to beat you up. It's kind of hard to hold right. down a steady gig. Because her secret identity isn't secret. It's like everybody just knows she's She-Hulk.
Right.
So, and she can change anytime she wants. Unlike Hulk, she retains her intelligence fully. Mm-hmm. Although it looks like in this Marvel series, it's going to be the smart Hulk where he retains the intelligence of Bruce Banner. But she's not really fueled by rage the way Hulk is, in that he gets gradually stronger and becomes almost invincible. There are arcs in the comic, though, where that does happen with her, where she becomes mm-hmm. more rage fueled. But in general, if you're talking about, hey, you're going to paint the broad strokes on She-Hulk, she's not dumb, mad like Hulk is. She kind of turns into Jennifer Walters, just tougher and stronger and bigger and badder.
Right.
But you're right, Mark. She does serve on a lot of teams. It's almost like anytime somebody needs to take a sabbatical, take a break, and you need somebody who can punch people, she's on board. She's ready right. to go.
She's like tank mode.
Tank mode. Any other thoughts on She-Hulk before we dive into the comics? I mean, anything else you think that people like really need to like know about the character?
Well, I will say,
what did you think of the trailer, Michael?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
I watched it just a little bit ago. I'm not sure. I think there's going to be some funny parts, but I'm not 100% sold yet. I'm going to give it a chance. But I'm not 100% sold. They're definitely trying to bring it into modern day, you know. But I guess what I'm trying to juxtapose is like, she seems kind of sad. Like she seems kind of lonely and kind of nerdy a little bit in her real life and a lot of the things I've seen. And then when she becomes the Hulk, She-Hulk, is she different at all? Or is she, because it seems like she sort of has to shed that loneliness or like that sadness to kind of emerge as a character that becomes very interesting. Which I think she gets more confidence maybe when she's She-Hulk. So I don't know. It definitely looks like it was going to be funny.
Who wouldn't? So let's dive into the comics, and then we'll recap what we expect to see from the series when we come out of on the other end of this. So we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we will talk about the Savage She-Hulk number one collector's item issue from Marvel Comics.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. You wouldn't like us when we're angry.
All right. So we are here today talking She-Hulk in advance of the Disney Plus premiere. I think it's August 18th. I should actually like write these things down before we start, so I don't have to keep saying I think it's August 18th. So
August 17th in my notes.
At midnight. I'm off by 24 hours.
You're both right.
I think it's next Wednesday.
Okay. Wednesday, Thursday, 220, 221, whatever you got. I probably won't watch it till Saturday, as much as I would love to.
I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying I had a 17th in my notes.
You could be. This is we play it fast and loose here. I mean, if people want to come at me for having the wrong date, they can Google it.
Post in the comments.
If I was 6'7" and green, I wouldn't have these worries. 650 pounds. So we went back and read Savage She-Hulk number one, which tells the origin story of the She-Hulk in a story called She-Hulk Lives, created and written by Stan the Man Lee and illustrated by John Buscema, who is like a legend in Marvel Comics. So this is like two people coming together on a legendary new character, She-Hulk. As I understand the legend around this, it was the TV series of the Hulk was fairly popular at the time. And there, the way that comic books go, where people are continually ripping off ideas from other people, like we talked about Doom Patrol X-Men, is that Marvel was worried that based on the popularity of She-Hulk, or based on the popularity of the TV show of The Incredible Hulk, that DC was going to try and come and rip off and create a female version of Hulk and put it in their comics. Like, we're going to beat them to it. We're going to get a female version of Hulk.
Gonna flip the script.
Flipped it. So, all right, Michael.
You posted the comments.
we're gonna listen to her comment from Michael.
I thought you wanted us to post in the comments.
She did.
Did you tweet at us at Casual Comics Guy?
All right. Thanks for the message back, Mark.
Yeah, I wanted to do instant feedback.
Great. I'm like,
post in the comments.
Everybody, post in the comments. I'm gonna get Slack going for this. So where were we? Oh, we were before our technical.
1979.
We were 1979. The She-Hulk Lives, which opens with Bruce Banner with his classic purple pants and green shirt strolling down the street, and he's finally decided he can't, you know, handle being on the run anymore, and he's gonna go confess to his cousin Jen, who up to this point no one had ever heard of. 20 years of old comic books,
but it's apparently super close.
Apparently they were super close. It was just my kid cousin, and now she's a lawyer here in Los Angeles. And day one, I didn't know, going back to, you know, because I know a lot about She-Hulk. I didn't realize, like, they make it super clear, like page 2, issue 1, her gig's a lawyer. She's like, yep, deep into the weeds, law books that she can barely lift because she's tiny. She's only like 5'2" when she's Jen Walters. You know, and just in her full lawyer neck scarf outfit. And we get a retelling, for people who don't know, of Bruce Banner's origin as the Hulk first. And and who's this guy who's like next to him with the G-bomb? Because it does not look like, if for whatever reason, it looks like everybody's got red hair. Rick Jones has red hair. This other scientist that's with him has red hair. But
Gamma Bomb.
But he retells the story of becoming Hulk to his cousin Jennifer, and he's like confessed to her, and she's hot on the case, mob case. So funny, Michael.
Yeah, like, she's hot on the case.
She is.
She was all over it.
She's like a lawyer, and she's in the middle of a mob case, and like, there's not even foreshadowing in this comic. Like, you should be careful, you could get killed, like, investigating this guy, and then like 2 pages later, she's getting shot in the back. Well, she just happens to be driving her cousin Bruce around town. So this is her origin. She gets shot chasing down a mob case. Bruce fights the bad guys off with a garden hose.
Yeah, he's like, I've seen police do this.
Right. Like, I don't think that's how it comes out of the hose.
This makes Bruce Banner seem kind of dumb. Not, like, to mention that could
just turn into the Hulk,
right? Yeah, not, know, to mention,
but he loses his mind though.
Yeah, to give him credit, he does say it out loud for people who are reading the comic. Like, no one else can hear him, but he's saying it so that we can, as readers, know. He's like, if he's afraid that if he turns into Hulk, he's gonna become this mindless beast, and what he knows is his cousin's been shot and he has to try and help her, like, fix her. And if he turns into Hulk, he's just gonna rage out and beat up those dudes and run away. So he, like, punches bare fist right through a glass window, which is pretty awesome. But I always got the sense that he was a nuclear physicist, not like he winds up crafting his own way to transfuse his blood into her body.
No, he broke into a doctor's house across the street. Remember, there's the whole thing about the doctor shingle.
Yeah.
So he found the right equipment. He didn't like make a blood transfusion concoction out of the hose or anything.
Yeah, oh. Joe, what doctor doesn't have blood transfusion equipment? Oh.
So what you're saying, Michael, is that the overlap in skills is such that this doctor could go break into the lab and create a gamma bomb too, because doctor's a doctor.
Well, I will say, I think if you're smart enough to be any kind of doctor, you're smart enough to know that there may be some risk of your blood going into another person and giving them a similar ailment. That seems like a pretty big miss, right?
He knows how to do home built do-it-yourself blood transfusions, but he's not an oncologist, Michael.
Okay. He's not a hematologist. I get it. I get it.
He does, for somebody who hasn't seen her since as his kid cousin, he does remember her blood type and that they're a match, which is good.
That's so odd.
Oh, good. We're both O negative. That was a close one.
Yeah, this dude's house, he just literally has like a whole... It makes me wonder what this dude is like doing. Like, is he really like, did doctors in the 1970s really have gurneys and all of this equipment in their home? Or is this dude like a Silence of the Lambs thing waiting to
happen? Well, maybe in the 70s, they didn't have low flow hoses. Maybe they did have.
They're all like power washers. Level.
That can wipe the paint off a house. Apparently. That's what I found fascinating. Besides the blood transfusion in the house, I'm like, why couldn't he go to a ER?
Well, I think he didn't think he had time, number one, and number two, he knows that he's a wanted fugitive.
That's right. And they didn't want to show anybody.
He calls the police after.
He does.
He gives her the blood.
But then he sneaks transfusion. Out.
He calls the police himself.
Doesn't he sneak out? I thought he sneaks away though.
The police come and the police like question him and they're asking him. He's like, they're like, who are you? And he's like, oh, I'm a friend. And they're like, you're more than a friend. You're a suspect. And he's like, bah. If they grill me, they'll learn. It's my favorite. If they grill me, they'll learn who I really am. Like questioning. I wasn't getting nowhere, but they're going to come back in there to grill him. And so he like hulks out and like busts out of the room. And then the next day he's Bruce Banner again. And he's like, oh, I'm reading the newspaper. It says she'll be fine. It's like, I don't.
It was not the best well laid out origin story. So I hope the show does it better than that. Or maybe that'll be an Easter egg.
It's going to have to be, because it looks like in the show they've changed the origin. So it doesn't look like it is her getting shot and getting a blood transfusion from him that gives her power.
It was a transfusion. I thought she was going to get one.
There's one trailer where it's a car accident, and you can't tell whether it's just they both get in the car accident, they're both bleeding and their blood gets mingled together. It looked to me like in the one trailer, they're in a car accident and they're laying on the ground together, and all of a sudden she starts glowing green because they're in a car accident.
Maybe
it's just as plausible as him giving her.
Maybe it's not an official blood transfusion, like you said, but I thought she gets his blood in her system somehow.
Right. But it looks like it's more car accident related, and maybe not. I went into the here and just poke myself with a needle, and like I think in the show they don't want it to be exactly what you just said. It's like, hey, don't you know if you have gamma irradiated blood and you give somebody else gamma irradiated blood, they might have the same problem you do. I think they're trying to avoid that in a TV show, but
we shall see.
For better or for worse, he hulks out, and then he's like, oh, it says here in the hospital she's laying there and she'll be fine. And then the three dudes who tried to kill her come in looking like the least convincing doctors.
Yeah, like, they're like orderlies.
Why are there three of you giving me my meds?
Right. And so they're going to use the classic chloroform, which I don't know. I don't know if that's a movie thing, if that really works. I don't even know if I want to know, but they're going to chloroform her and drag her out of there. And then she transforms into She-Hulk, but she's mad. She has the rage. So like Hulk in that way, but she's still able to talk and reason in some ways, but she is a little bit out of control.
Yes.
Right. And she's just starts throwing crap at him.
Yeah. She retains most of her mind is what I remember, but I think they weren't sure. And even in that first episode, how much control she should have. I think that's the way I was interpreting that writing.
She knew how to pull up the elevator cable to thwart their escape. I thought that was kind of cool.
That was kind of cool, actually.
That is true. And then she winds up naming herself, kind of. One of the bad guys is like, oh, look, what? She's green. And then it's like, yeah, it's like she's some kind of She-Hulk. And then as she's throwing crap at him, she's like, you called me a She-Hulk, and a She-Hulk I'll be.
I shall be. And I think that's an interesting thing about that. I think the trailer, she doesn't like the name in the trailer. And I love that kind of parallel to the, maybe she did like the name in the comics, clearly in her origin story, she did, but maybe in the show, she hates She-Hulk, the name.
I think she's just mad at the dudes. And then like they needed to figure out a way that they're going to call her She-Hulk. And then right here, just say it right here. And then everybody can call her She-Hulk from now on.
I think in the show, she doesn't want to be called She-Hulk.
That makes sense, because Jane didn't want to be called Lady Thor either in the Thor movie.
That's true.
So why would you? Why would you?
It's a store.
I'm going to have a little side rant. I have a problem with college basketball, too, with women's basketball, like the Creighton Blue Jays. Why isn't the Lady Jays? Why does it have to be the Lady whatever, the Lady Mac? Like, just give them a name. Why do the college basketball teams have to be the Lady whatever, Lady Volunteer? Ah,
see? I don't know. Do you have an opinion on this?
I don't know that I feel that strongly about it. I'm cool with Lady Jays. I'm cool with Boy Jays. I don't know. I don't feel that strongly about it.
Maybe it's because when my kids went to school, their mascot was the Silver Knights, and then they wanted to be like, make them the Lady Knights. I'm like, what? What do you get? The Lady Knights? You want to
change it? Well, I have a problem with changing it. I mean, I like
tradition. No, it was like that was what they were called. I'm like, why not just call them the Knights? It's just too far. I didn't get it. That's just me. Being on our ants.
Okay.
It's like She-Hulk. She went from liking She-Hulk to not liking She-Hulk.
That's right.
I will say it is cool to see how her aesthetic changes. So like in this one, she had Farrah Fawcett hair. She was really cool. But her hairstyle and her like clothing style and all of the different things that we looked at for this changed, which I liked.
Well, let's level set for this one then. What would you call this look that she's got going on in this comic book?
I wrote down that she had Farrah Fawcett hair. Yeah.
She looks definitely. Like she's wearing a ripped nightgown.
Yes.
Kind of. And you know, as you would expect, the rest of the story of the book is her just chasing down the bad guys. And then getting falsely. Is this the one where she falsely then also gets accused?
No. But what I wrote in the note at the end is nobody knows Jennifer Walters is She-Hulk in that origin. Like it was secret for a time. I don't know if it was always that way in that run of comics, but she goes back and lays down and nobody knows that was her that turned into She-Hulk.
Right. It ends with her saying, I'll learn to live with it from now on. Whatever Jennifer Walters can't handle, the She-Hulk. So the
Savage She-Hulk.
So that's Savage She-Hulk number one. That series does go on for, I think, 25 issues. Much in the same vein, very 1970s. It winds up having a parallel to the TV show Hulk, which I think we talked about was very popular at the time. She is trying to rescue somebody, one of her coworkers, from these mafia dudes, and the person dies on accident when she's trying to save them, and so she becomes hunted just like the Hulk. So she's like outcast. She has to pretend that it's almost just like what's going on in the Hulk TV show. She has to pretend that she's dead, and everybody thinks Jennifer Walters is dead because that's what's best for the world. And she has to remain hidden, and she'll help people out as She-Hulk when she can. But she's also still a lawyer. It's very convoluted in how she's able to maintain that identity where she remains hidden to most of the world. So overall, yes. Savage She-Hulk number one, I thought was a great introduction to the character.
I didn't enjoy it that much. I thought that even for a 70s, early late 70s, early 80s, I thought the origin story was a little like, take her to a hospital, man.
That's the goofy stuff I like from comics.
What did you think, know Michael? I just think they could have made a little more practicality in there.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. Yeah, her origin story wasn't like this. His origin story, I think they retell the Hulk's origin story because her origin story is kind of flat. Like they didn't give her an incredible story, so they have to recount his incredible story so that hers seems not so like meh.
That is true. All right. Well, so probably not the best place for people to jump on if you want to start reading She-Hulk comics. Probably wouldn't recommend this one as a starting point. But when we come back, we will talk about She-Hulk from the 1980s, 1990s, Sensational She-Hulk. And we will talk about that when we return.
Oh, my stars and garters, you're listening to the Casual Comics Cast.
All right, folks, we are back talking about She-Hulk, diving into our second of our three She-Hulk comics today, Sensational She-Hulk, number one from 1989, written and drawn by John Byrne, who was very prolific at the time, drawing DC and Marvel comics. He did a really great reinvention of Superman probably a few years before this, the Man of Steel, and so they're like, let's get him to revive She-Hulk, and immediately with the cover, right, pink She-Hulk warning readers. This is their second chance. And if you don't buy her book this time, she's going to come to your house and rip up all your X-Men comics. So the previous series canceled after 25 That's issues.
Interesting.
Let's see if this one can last a little longer. And this one is Second Chance. And I love, this is where I started to love Marvel Comics, is Stan's all into it. It's like, Stan Lee presents 22 pages of pulse-pounding pandemonium.
Buy it. Book it.
Book it. So, Michael, this is the one you were probably talking about, right? Of how much she could lift?
Yeah, this is the circus one.
Two pachyderms.
Should we start?
Let's do it.
Wait, can we start?
I think this one starts with, She-Hulk doing, what is this, some shoulder presses here while sitting cross-legged on the ground, lifting two whole elephants for the circus. And I did really have no explanation out of the get-go of why she's in the circus, except that in his early days, Hulk used to hide out at the circus.
Yeah. Well, I think she uses it as like a gym, like a training space, because it's large.
Yep, that is true.
Like how she correctly points out while she's bench pressing the elephants that it's really grip strength that she is having to focus on.
Right. Which,
that's correct. It's really more about the grip.
It's kind
of not about the 75 tons of elephant.
50. It's kind of interesting because the tone of this book right away is very different than the tone of Savage She-Hulk, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's more, and skipping way ahead, but I think this is the theme or the tone that I think the show is going to have, this comic, a little more lighthearted, a little more comedic.
It struck me rereading, because I read more than just the first issue. This is the series that actually, if you think about what sort of fueled Deadpool's popularity in comic books of being self-aware and knowing he's in a comic, it's obvious that she knows that she's in a comic book and that comic books are a thing in this universe. And they reference it multiple times, you know, throughout of like, she's like, I'm going to come to your house and rip up your X-Men comics. And the guy that's helping her train, she's like, you know, hey, maybe you read about my cousin Hulk in the first issue of Avengers. He's like, no, I don't read those superhero mags, you know? So she's living in a world where not only are there comic books, but these comic books are chronicling the heroes that we're reading about in the comic books too, mm-hmm. possibly even including herself. And she kind of knows she's a comic book character, which is interesting. And it's just more lighthearted, a little bit more, and a lot more cheesy.
Yes. And that's what I'm saying. If you're going to go cheesy, like go all in. And this comic did that. And I liked it. The ringmaster with the hypnosis. I was waiting for her to be starring in a movie uh-huh. with Superman after getting hypnotized, Joe. Yeah, superhero lawyers in here. She breaks the fourth wall.
Something else. Yeah. So she's just hanging out. She's bench pressing packet or lifting them. And yes, it's true. She does say, you know, hey, I'm not having a problem with the lifting them. It's the grip. The bar keeps rotating. It's the grip. And then all of a sudden she's hypnotized. I don't know where about this dude, the ringmaster, and like, haha, are you sure she's zapped, dude? And it gets a little creepy, like right away, like a little creeperish. She's like, ooh, now she's mine to do with what I please. I'm like, where is this going? Like, I don't
know. So what do?
They turn her into they put makeup on her. And what does that guy say? Hoochie mama? What does he say? That's a spicy meatball.
Yeah, what the right? That was so weird. She's Glamazonia. They make her Glamazonia.
Right.
She kind of looks like the princess, like the Jabba the Hutt Princess Leia mixed with like a Cleopatra. Yes. She's got like slouchy white boots on. It's very oversexed, but she looks dope.
Yeah.
And I want to see more Glamazonia.
It is very 19. whose hairstyle do you think that is, Michael? Like when she's She-Hulk there? Because it's very.
When she's She-Hulk or Glamazonia?
Either one.
Well, no, when she's She-Hulk, she's like got like the 80s, like all curls, like big, big, tight curls. But when she's Amazonia, it's like a more of a bob.
Like a,
Yeah. It's different.
It is. They spend a good couple pages in here then retelling the origin of the Hulk again and then the origin of She-Hulk. Which we just read. I mean, it's an issue number one. I think Marvel used to try and do a good job of reintroducing you to characters, not assuming you just knew everything and read everything all the way through.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about that with Secret Wars. Jim Shooter, in his run as editor, would always say, you got to have every issue be able to stand alone. If somebody's ever seen this character before, you got to let them know a little something about them, mm-hmm. a little something about their powers. So they set that up. They set up her origin. Then, like, as she's hypnotized, they're like, let's, even though she's giant and green, let's paint her entire skin a flesh tone, put a wig on her, and give her a different costume and call her Glamazonia. And yeah, it's the two dudes. They seem to be some sort of swordsman, and they have the weird waxed mustaches. And at the same time, they go, oh, Mamma Mia, that's some spicy meatball. But I don't know if I want to get into how they got her all made up that way. That just seems like creepy that she's all hypnotized.
There's a guy called the professor that does the makeup artist. Yeah.
But they body painted her.
Well, yeah. I mean, it happens.
But I'm assuming he body painted her everywhere. Not just in the
It was everywhere because
he had to take care of the bathing suit area.
Permanent.
Well, that's probably why his wife was mad, though. The Princess Python.
She was mad.
The professor's wife shows up and she's not pleased.
Yeah, but their whole plan is like that she's going to, this is like their master ridiculous. Plan of these villains is they're going to hypnotize She-Hulk. She's completely under their control.
What would you do if you hypnotized She-Hulk? Because this is what I would do. I don't know about you.
Yes, this would be exactly my plan also.
Okay, sure the grand plan of the Ringmaster.
Dress her up as somebody else named Glamazonia, another character you made. Like, you couldn't just have her be She-Hulk. You couldn't just be like, have She-Hulk do the same thing. You gotta dress her, give her a different name. You gotta have a secret identity so that people don't know this is She-Hulk for some reason. And then she goes to the grandstand of the circus and picks it up, just shakes so everybody's flips, money comes out of their pockets.
Flips it over, yeah. And then they made $3,700, Joe.
And they hypnotized, after stealing, they hypnotized him to make him feel like it was the greatest show they ever watched, because he couldn't just hypnotize them and take their money. That would make too much sense.
Right?
That really wasn't the reason, is how I read the book. That was just, they wanted some extra pocket money. The real reason was somebody paid him $3 million to test her strength and her limits.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out, was that guy a guy or was he a gorilla?
Oh, the guy.
Both.
The beast. I don't know. I think it was a real guy dressed up as a gorilla.
Up like a gorilla. I don't
understand why.
Like when they were they were talking about the costume, and I was like, is the guy the costume or is the gorilla the costume? And I couldn't figure it out.
I think the gorilla was, but why would you dress up as a gorilla?
To hide? Yeah.
To
hide your secret identity. So, yes, we are in fact in a world living here in sensational She-Hulk, where if you're gonna commit a heist, you go to that place where well-known high society rich people are hanging out, the circus, on a Tuesday to 3 after the afternoon.
You take that pocket change.
And then you're right. The guy's wife is jealous and so then tries to kill her. Then the gorilla guy shows up and steals the ringmaster's hat, unhypnotizes her. She captures this circus-themed crew of bad guys, takes a shower, gets herself cleaned off of all this makeup, and then discovers that there is a group of secret weirdos behind all of this that may be trying to do something more nefarious.
Those are the carnies.
Was this so at the end of this comic, there's a whole thing on the headmen. Is that what that is?
The headmen. That's the name of these bad guys, the headmen.
We already used the hand. The hand was taking. Let's use the headmen.
Like there's a plunger head, and there's a unicorn head, and then there's the gorilla head guy.
Yeah, the headmen. They have different heads. They're the headmen.
I actually feel like maybe the guy with the whole gorilla thing is he's actually a gorilla body with a human head, and then he wears a gorilla mask, so people think he's just a regular gorilla.
That's like Doom Patrol guy.
What?
That's like the dude in the Umbrella Academy.
Well, that's what I mean. The Umbrella Academy. Yes. With the gorilla body and the hot face. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
See?
Yeah. You think he has a hot face too?
Everybody's ripping everybody off.
He's a good dancer too.
Everybody's ripping everybody off all the time.
So I noticed in that comic, this particular comic, She-Hulk makes a comment about an extra dose of gamma radiation made her permanently green.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that? So, yeah. That was an interesting, different take on the air. So they're basically saying she can never turn back.
That is true.
That was just an interesting point about this comic I didn't really agree with. I love the comic, though, by the way.
All three of the comics we read had different sort of takes on her transitioning, yeah, or ability to transition. So that seems to be a fluid kind, yep, of principle in her storyline.
Which is similar, yeah, to Bruce, right? Sometimes he can control it. Sometimes he can't. Sometimes he's a dude named Joe Fix-It. I don't know what that's all about.
A member of the Headmen, son of dad.
The Headmen. So this whole John Byrne run is kind of wacky and kind of cheesecake in the way he draws her sometimes. Is that he's like, oh, here she is fresh out of the shower with the, it's just very like, some of the bad guys seem to be more creepers than the actual bad guys.
Oh, yeah.
But it's actually a really fun run of the book, and I'm glad it's on Marvel Unlimited, because I got a chance to read. I read through, like, after I read that one, I read like a dozen more, and they're just goofy and funny. And I think this run lasts, I think, 60 issues, so quite a 50 issues, so runs quite a bit longer, and really gets into territory where, like, she knows she's in a comic book. Like, she sees somebody else, she's like, hey, you just walked between panels, how do you do that? And just gets into that kind of thing. I don't know what John Byrne was doing at the time that he was like, you know, it's going to be fun, She-Hulk, I'll do that for a while. But it's an extremely enjoyable take on the character where she gets the spotlight, unlike Savage She-Hulk, where it doesn't seem like she's got much of a character other than just a woman version of Hulk that gets mad. She's got her own life going on. She's got her own things happening. Yeah. And she winds up living in Janet Van Dyne's apartment again. She's always, that's like where she's crashing. So this is like the introduction to her through her entire history. Whenever she's between gigs as a lawyer, Wasp has her back and is like, you can use one of my apartments I'm not using right now.
There's something going on there.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad thing. The I hope that Marvel has a Glamazonia Easter egg in their series, because that only us three would get it. And we'd giggle like, hey, it's Glamazonia. That'd be pretty awesome. But after reading this book, Joe, and this is what I was going to tell you earlier, and we'll talk about the series later, I actually got a lot more excited for the She-Hulk series coming up when they called it, because they've been calling it a legal comedy. And I'm like, what? How is it going to be that? And then I read this book. I'm like, oh, if they can just pull from some of these kind of themes and tones from this book, I think it'll be an enjoyable, I'm looking forward to the series, I guess is what I'm saying, which I wasn't before.
Okay.
So much. I wasn't all in. Now I'm all in.
Let's take a quick break and come back and talk about the She-Hulk run from 2005, which I think really you're going to see the TV series draw from, because it's called She-Hulk Attorney at Law. So we will take a moment. And when we come back, we'll review our third and final She-Hulk comic of this show. She-Hulk number one again.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. We could do this all day.
Yeah, she's like, oh, this is just a normal thing she's doing. So that's what I'm saying. Not even a foot and then 6 feet. So why is it 1,000 feet and then 600 feet?
Right.
So you think your ratio of height to length for jumping should be the same as her ratio?
Yeah, you should be able to jump six times as far. 1,000
feet. Yeah, she should be jumping. She should go like 3,600 feet long jump.
Not 1,000.
Hmm.
I mean, it makes sense if you think of like athletes and they do the long jump and the high jump. Well, they're going way farther on the long jump.
She's also wearing high heels in a lot of this stuff.
No, she's barefoot. Or that picture, she has sneakers and leg warmers on.
Oh, you're right. If she's only wearing sneakers, she should really
be able to. She can only go like 40% further on a long jump. I just don't, that doesn't seem right to me.
I don't buy it. The math, something's not adding up. Maybe she got extremely strong like hamstrings, but her quads aren't so good. All right, well, let's get into our third She-Hulk book, which is the 2005 Dan Slott She-Hulk number one. And Michael, I think this is where we talk, like Pat would always ask, he's like, number one? It's like, yeah, they renumber them number one all the time. So this is just another one. And in fact, this is what's so confusing is when I sent you guys She-Hulk number one and I wanted to talk about the She-Hulk number one where she's a lawyer, there was also a She-Hulk number one the prior year written by the same person. Dan Slott wrote a series, She-Hulk, Single Green Female, which ran from 2004 to 2005, number one through number 12. And then this is a continuation of that. And they restarted it at number one again, which was why I sent you this book instead of the other one.
Was it called Single Green Female?
That's the name of the trade paperback.
I'm wondering if it was from the, what year did the Single White Female movie come out?
I'm sure it was a takeoff of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so
Michael's looking it up. No.
The show comes out. It's called She-Hulk Attorney at Law. And I'm immediately thinking to myself, they're going to go back to the run that Dan Slott had in the early 2000s. I look it up. I see She-Hulk number one. It's her with the scales of justice. And, you know, and they're like, oh, here's the one. And I sent it to you guys. And then when I read it, I'm like, what? This is not the, I also read this one, but I'm like, this isn't the first part of the story. This is like the second part of the story. Oh, this restarted this one? The numbering.
Is this the one I was supposed to read?
Yes. Which one did you read?
I read parts of this.
Okay.
I didn't read that one.
Which one did you read?
Joe sent you the wrong links and then he resent them and he got us all mixed around.
Maybe Mark, or maybe, well, we can talk about all of them.
Well, I'll bring up
the I think one you read there. This one. This is the one I sent a link to everybody.
This one was weird too because it introed into a different storyline than the actual, it was like the intro was different than the big part of the comic.
What do you mean? Well,
like the beginning, she's running around and then she tries to intercept a crime and then like they're trying to get her to join the Avengers again. And then you go into the whole, we did not read the same thing.
No, wait.
This is the second issue.
That's number two, yes.
Yes, number two. But is that the right one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you read the right one.
It's fine. I just forgot what the cover art.
So I didn't read the right
one. You did. We all read the same one. 2005, not 2004, 2005. Same creative team.
You all read the same one.
This is very confusing. Mark was showing you the cover of issue number two from this series, not issue number one, but it's got Hawkeye in it. So you tell me what your recollection is because you're confusing me with your recap here.
I just remember that she has like a gamma transceptor thing on her arm that helps her control whether she hulks out or not. And that Hawkeye looked like James Vanderbeek.
The beak.
Right. That's really good. Yes.
And she was, I think she was like jonesing for him. She's like, oh my God, he's over there. Does she want Hawkeye to be her boyfriend?
Well, she killed Hawkeye on accident. Is the deal. So.
Oh, that's why she's like, why? Oh, that makes sense.
That's why
too.
She's okay. Obsessing. She killed the man.
I admit, once it got into the storyline where she's like a frumpy lawyer and she's trying to defend the super villains or whatever is going on, it was a little windy. And I had already read two She-Hulk or She-Hulk. She-Hulk. Ooh, that's going to be their baby comic.
That's right.
I was kind of like, okay, I get the concept, but it was a little windy and I wasn't into the comic that much.
All right. I see you were winding down on your comic reading.
I told you, two is my limit. You pushed me past my limit.
Two a week?
A recording.
Just two for Joe. Just
ever.
With it. It's two.
Two ever.
Just two at any one point.
Okay. So this one starts with her, though, strolling down the street, doing a little exercise, playing her tunes. What does she got going? She's got a little Chumbawamba going. And she got some Queen.
And then she canceled. She didn't believe that was on her iPod.
Well, right. Also, this whole like running thing, her outfit, I'm going to use a turn of phrase that y'all might not like, but they keep giving her a weird camel toe. Why did they have her drawn that way? It's very bizarre.
I think that's the seam on the outfit she's wearing for some reason.
I get it, but it looks like a camel toe.
I'm not a fashion designer. You can take that up with Wister.
I just approached a topic that I know you guys are not comfortable talking about.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No, I just wanted to look it up. I wasn't uncomfortable with it. I was very comfortable with it.
You can ask Mr. Juan Bobbio.
I know. I'm like, comic. That's just like no woman buys an outfit with a seam like that. We don't do that anymore. It doesn't, they make clothes so that doesn't happen intentionally.
That's what happens when you have dudes drawing women.
Is it, or is it what happens when you go from 5'3" to 6'7"? You might need something that's stretchy in a different way than most normal women do.
More seams?
Yeah, seams in different places.
Michael is saying this is not right.
I'm saying she's got a front butt, man. That's what I'm saying.
Overall, we're going to review the book Distracting. Look out for that. I do agree that the art in this one is a little difficult. She has a gamma changer. So you talked about it, Michael. Like the first one, she changes when she's mad. Sensational She-Hulk, she can't change at all. She's always She-Hulk. This one, she's always Jen Walters, but she needs this gamma charger to help her. Because again, I
gamma changer that. Charger. Gamma it's changer. A gamma changer and it's charging. Like I'm gamma. Confused. I'm like, so it's not a gamma. You'd think it'd be a gamma charger. It's a gamma changer. Like that's not even an accurate term.
That's true.
Why are you changing gamma? Sorry, go ahead.
You're changing your gamma levels. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what it is.
But this one is much more. I think what you'll see in some of the TV series is she's a lawyer who takes cases that involve extra human affairs. And in this comic, it is a self-defense case for somebody who killed somebody because they have 100% certain knowledge that person kills them in the future. So they're like, well, I'm going to kill them because I know they kill me in the future. And now we got some serious lawyering to do.
Right. Pull out some precedent from other superhero time travel related cases.
Yeah.
And this is where this run goes. They reference it in this book, but in the 2004 series with Dan Slott, comic books are actually like law books. You can reference them in the court of law. You can say, well, as you saw in Avengers number 57,
case law
precedent was established that this is how we handle these things.
Wait, Joe, can we go back for a sec? Because I want to make a point about what I enjoyed about this comic.
I thought you already did with that picture.
No, it was that she could handle herself without turning into She-Hulk.
That was great. Yeah,
she kicked butt without ever successfully hulking out. So that was cool.
I like that. And that was kind of a cool nod of, she said
Gamora taught her that.
Gamora taught her that. I love it. That was so cool.
Frank,
Centurion nerve jab.
Yeah. The nerve jab and where she hit the dude. Yeah.
So we can go back. I thought that was a cool twist of she doesn't need to turn into the Hulk to provide self-defense.
Right.
So that was cool.
No, okay. I think that's actually one of the cool things that comes out of this whole series from Dan Slott. And maybe, I hope you're interested enough to go back and read the one that we're supposed to read and that lead you up to this point, which is she's very much just a person who has a regular job and a regular life. And one of the things like in the run is she can't beat somebody because they're just stronger than her. And they're like, well, what's going on? Don't you? And they show that she's like working out, but she's working out. She can bench press like, 75 tons. She's breaking all the equipment and everything. And they're like, they tell her, they're like, oh, she figures out that her strength is proportional. Her strength increases proportionally. Just like I'm this person and I get this big. And so if she's going to get stronger as She-Hulk, she actually has to work out in her human form. She can't just like turn into She-Hulk where everything's easy to lift. They're like, if your strength is proportional, you need to double how much you can bench lift as a human being. Then that will double how much you can bench lift as She-Hulk. And so
that is interesting.
It's some of that where she has to learn to live like a normal life and everything can't come easy just because you can turn into a Hulk.
I wish I could turn into a Hulk and just be twice as snarky. Twice as sarcastic.
You could jump a whole 12 feet.
One and a half foot.
Jump 3 feet in the air instead of 8 inches.
I like it. But when this series goes in, she is in a bad place because she did have a Savage Hulk freak out and killed a bunch of people, killed Vision, who appears in the comic, killed whatever she was into, wound up killing Hawkeye and everybody. And so she's seeing everyone's favorite gamma irradiated therapist, Doc Samson, who was in the Hulk movie, right? The Hulk movie everyone disowned. This is the dude from Modern Family.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you're right.
Phil Dunphy. He was Doc Samson.
That's right. So, I thought it was Wonder Man, or is it the same person?
Nope.
Doc. Okay. So it was Doc Samson, not Wonder Man. And that was Michael, the therapist.
The guy who's the therapist with the green hair, he actually has gamma superpowers too. And he's sort of Hulk's therapist. And then he becomes She-Hulk's therapist because they have a lot of anger issues. As you can imagine, you need somebody to talk to about it. What else is memorable to you about this? So yes, Hawkeye's dead. And then as they're trying to find, this is what I kind of like about it is, I hope they get into some of this superhero law stuff because you wonder what would happen. How would you have a self-defense if it's a future crime? And the TVA shows up from Loki.
Like that nod to the Time Variance Authority.
I like it. And I like the process that the TVA person goes into. He's like, you must swear to the best of your abilities. You're not pollute.
You're not going to screw with the natural
course of time.
Right.
Yeah.
And then do you remember the code of the TVA from the book,
Mark? It was like, embrace the past, forget the future.
Preserve the past, protect the present, forget the future.
That's right. Serve and protect, man.
That's right.
I did like, and I thought maybe you were just having Michael and I read this comic because Vision was in it.
And they
mentioned Scarlet Witch. And I'm like, Joe always loves a chance.
Always wants to talk Vision about the cameo. Vision and the Scarlet Witch.
Right. And that was the weirdest drawing Vision I've ever seen in the history of comics, Joe. And then I realized it wasn't him. It was a replica.
That is true.
They killed old Vision.
But this guy's drawing is weird because Hawkeye does look like James Van Der Beek.
But why does Vision look like a version of Iron Man and Thing?
I don't know. He looks like, I don't know. His head looks like Boba Fett's helmet in some way, the way it's shaped. It's got really sharp angles on it.
So S.H.I.E.L.D. killed Vision while under Scarlet Witch's spell. So Joe, Scarlet Witch killed.
That is true. Using She-Hulk as her weapon.
Kind of the way I looked at it. But Joe never misses a chance for a Scarlet Witch and Vision cameo, Michael.
True.
Even when it's by accident. Even when it's by accident. So ultimately wraps up with getting ready for the case. And this is where it comes from, is you got to go to the TVA, because if you're going to get a jury pool that's not been tainted by knowledge of the facts, why not go get a jury pool of people who from the past who don't know anything about this event? And they bring in Hawkeye, and against what the TVA just said, Jennifer Walters has a plan how to rescue Hawkeye and make sure he doesn't die now that Hawkeye is in the jury pool on this time tampering murder case.
Whatever you do, don't do this. I'm going to go do that. That's comic book plot 101.
Any thoughts on, because this is what I think a lot of the tone of the show will be, because you've got the cameos popping up, mm-hmm. right, with Vision. She even makes a mention in one of the trailers. She's like, it's not going to be filled with cameos, except for Bruce and for Emo.
It's just a better modern take than the last one, just because, you know, for lack of a better political commentary, we've evolved a bit, and she can protect herself not being She-Hulk. She's her own person. She's not always a victim. So I think if you combine the 80s version and this one, that's what got me excited for the series. I think they can pull it even forward, even further. And so that's why I'm looking forward to it, because I think they can pull from those two books and really create something fun and enjoyable for us to watch.
Okay. Well, anything else to note of this book? And then if not, we'll come back and we will talk about what we're excited for, what we hope comes into the show from what we read and what we're kind of hoping for. Any other thoughts on the book, though, before I close the book, so to speak?
The book.
I'm going to have Jeff tell you all about some new comics here. And when you've heard about our three comic picks of the week, we'll be back to summarize and talk about what we're excited about for She-Hulk.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. What a revolting development that is. And now, it's time for the tremendous trio of treasures. Three new comics that we recommend for all of our loyal listeners. First, 007, number one, Dynamite Entertainment. 007 is back in action. After a high-stakes rescue mission is mysteriously, violently sabotaged, Bond's future at MI6 hangs in the balance. As he awaits his fate, James Bond is urgently contacted by an old flame and mentor, Gwendolyn Gann, formerly Agent 003, who warns Bond of an existential threat to England and the global balance of power. But before they can meet, 003 turns up dead, sending Bond on the most personal mission of his career. Find Gwendolyn Gann's killers and expose the shadowy organization known only as Myrmidon. Then, Love Everlasting, number one from Image Comics. From award-winning superstar creators Tom King and Elsa Charretier comes a new, ongoing series set in a world as frighteningly fantastical as any found beyond the stars. Romance comics? Joan Peterson discovers that she's trapped in an endless cycle. There's a problem to be solved. There's a man to marry. But every time she falls in love, she disappears into a new, different Teary saga. Her bloody journey to freedom starts in this breathtaking, groundbreaking first issue. Finally, Ms. Marvel and Wolverine number one, Marvel Comics.
a dire threat, a dangerous mystery, and only the toughest heroes of the Marvel Universe can save the day. When a mysterious threat lands in New York City, Ms. Marvel takes matters into her own embiggened hands. But with Krakoan security tech compromised, you can bet Wolverine and the X-Men won't be far behind. The best there is at what he does teams up with one of the Marvel Universe's most lauded heroes in this oversized, action-packed adventure for the ages. Be here for the start of the saga, and follow through August and September as Moon Knight and Venom join Kamala Khan for the superhero spectacle of the summer. And that's your Casual Comics Cast tremendous trio of treasures for this episode. Pick them up wherever fine comic books are sold today.
What was with the Visions drawing there, Joe? That's so weird.
This guy's a very good artist. I don't think he's very good. The art was kind of garbage.
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't as bad as the next series gets of She-Hulk, which is also another She-Hulk attorney comic, because this is the art in that.
I like that.
You do?
Well, maybe I don't.
No, I'm surprised.
I didn't think it was bad. I mean, I only saw the She-Hulk. Maybe I liked her hairstyle.
Maybe you liked her camel toad.
By the
way, oh, it's not a toad, Joe. It's a toe. There's no toad.
It was
toad.
A joke. Didn't you ever see? Look, here's Daredevil. You like the camel toad back there?
I love it, Joe. You thought it was camel toad. That's
no. Funny. It's did you ever see World According to Garp, the movie?
Yes.
Where they're like, don't get caught in the undertoad, and all his kids think it's undertoad. Like, because he keeps telling them not to get caught in the undertow when they go out, and they think it's a toad that's down there that grabs you from underwater. The undertoad.
What is the deal with Boomerang announcing what he's throwing you? She's like, are those voice activated or something? I thought that was pretty funny.
Right.
It's like a Spider-Man quip. That's what She-Hulk has. She had Spider-Man like quips.
Very quippy.
All
right. Well, thanks, Jeff, for the comics. We're very excited. I'm going to read those. Probably, Michael, there's three of them, so you probably can't. That's too much. That's too many.
Two. I said to you three times that three was too many.
Okay. Well, you needed to say it to me four times.
Apparently.
I said you didn't have to read all three when you didn't, so that's
fine. I read parts of the third one.
That's a win.
That's an A for effort.
The Hulk, I view that as an absolute win.
That's true.
Thank you.
That's maximum effort. I like it. All right. So we're going to wrap up our talk about She-Hulk. A couple lingering things from having watched a lot of the trailers and things. So the major villain in this series appears like it's going to be our Secret Wars favorite Titania. Remember Titania, Michael?
Yeah, she's dope.
Totally dope.
I would love to see
Volcano. She's Lithuanian too. That's what Mark said.
She is.
I think Volcano is more the Lithuanian type. I would love to see Volcano and Molecule Man make an appearance. That probably won't happen. I mean, she's like Titania's BFF. Could have that. That's a Jamila Owen. Jamil, right?
Yeah, from The Good Place.
What else do we know about the series? We know that since she's an attorney, another famous Marvel attorney will be appearing.
Matt Murdock.
Right, Michael?
I heard he kind of has a really good early sneak peeks. He kind of steals the scenes.
The scenes that he's in. I wonder how much of the show he's really scenes. In. His yellow costume. And do you think that costume is really yellow? Is this the blue dress, white dress thing going on?
Oh, maybe.
His costume's yellow. No, that's just the light reflecting off
it's
his red.
It's red and yellow, but it's yeah. It is got a lot of people in it. I'm excited for it. That's what also made me excited. Wong.
I think that made me more excited too. Just seeing the cast of characters.
Yeah.
Bringing back Bruce. Abomination.
Bruce, Abomination, Tim Roth.
Which hopefully you'll get to see what Abomination was up to with Wong in Shang-Chi. Like, what was the deal with the two of them, like in that illegal fighting ring?
I know. It's very random.
Maybe you'll get the continuation of that.
Maybe we'll get an idea what's going on there. But when they started introducing more characters and, like I said, called it a legal comedy, I think they can have some fun with this. So if it's well written, I think it will be an enjoyable series. So I'm now in. I was out, okay. Half in, and now I'm all in.
Go back and read. If anybody were to ask me, where should I start if I'm interested in watching She-Hulk, I would have said the Dan Slott 2004, not the 2005, which is when I sent you an accident. If you're mildly interested, Mark, go read that, because that one he pitched to Marvel. Like, because I have the trade paperback, and in the, you know, forward by Dan Slott, his pitch to Marvel was like, how about Ally McBeal starring She-Hulk? And it was going to be a workplace comedy starring She-Hulk in a law firm. And it was like, it was really good because she took these superhero cases. My favorite superhero case she takes is Peter Parker's finally sick of the Bugle trashing him. And so he sues J. Jonah Jameson for defamation of character.
Nice. That's the kind of stuff that'd be fun.
Yeah. And then one of Spider-Man's villains decides to bust in the courtroom and fight people up or fight people. So
it's very American to have like such a legal focus because we have the notoriety for just suing everyone all the time. So it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I think that's where they can have fun with it.
Yeah. Agreed. Good. So looking forward to that. The show starts on August 17th, I think you said, Mark.
That's what my notes say, Joe. I'm not going to.
I think it's that's next right. Wednesday.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for hopping on with me, everybody. We will be back, I'm sure, with a recap of a couple of the She-Hulks. Michael, maybe we'll watch an episode of Sandman or two, see what you think of Sandman. And then
I'm gonna do it.
We've got some more Marvel. Mark, you and I are going to talk San Diego Comic-Con recap.
Let's do it next time.
All right. Thanks for joining me, everybody. Until next time, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, everyone. If you've got a comic book you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know on Twitter at Casual Comics Guy, at our blog casualcomicsguy.com, or on our Facebook page Casual Comics Cast. So until next time, stay safe and stay frosty, people.